Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 14 December. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Derek Ganser van Rensburg on what has been a great year, particularly for the sort of mid-small SA Inc. Andres van Heerden from Afrimat on the Glenova phosphate acquisition, and then Lindsay Dutton from Intersect, talking around a round of funding that they had more recently, a venture capital funding, but also looking for some insights into Black Friday sales trends. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Do local shares still offer value? Some experts say pockets of value to be found on the JSE, and there's lots of pockets of value on the JSE. And from Business Day, UK mulls removing SA from its travel red list amid speculation that SA and its neighbours will be removed from the UK list. Various sectors have urged government to not impose harsher restrictions. Morning markets. The US was red last night, S&P down 0.9, NASDAQ off 1.5%. In Asia, we've got Tokyo off 0.5%. Sydney, a couple of points to the red, not a lot. Commodities red overnight. Gold, 1,787. Brent, down a bunch, 73.90. Palladium, down a bunch, 1,684. Rand, 16.04. Top 40 opening call, about 320 points to the red. That's a little under 0.5% down. That as 10 cent trades up 0.2% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Derek Ganser van Rensburg. You find him, of course, at Anchor Capital. Derek, appreciate the early morning time. As said in the intro, 2021 has been a good year for investors across the board. Big stocks, small stocks, certainly the mid-smaller cap stocks, the SA Incs, we've had some really good returns from some of the stocks in that space.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Thank you. I can't agree more. I mean, we've certainly had a stellar year for a lot of the SA Inc. basket of shares, particularly in that sort of smaller cap space. Obviously, a bit of a low base effect, obviously, contributing to the good returns. But even within that sort of top 20 level, if you just look at the big stocks and the big names out there that have contributed to returns, there's some big moves out there. If you look at the Sasols, the Richmonts of late, the MTNs also doing very nicely, all contributing to the recent new highs that we've seen on the local wars. But certainly in that SA Inc. space, if you just look at the hotel and leisure industry, those have done exceptionally well, worked off those low bases. And, of late, the banks also been a little bit benign, but look quite interesting from a valuation perspective at these levels. But certainly a good year when you look back on it. It's going to be a little bit more tricky as we move into 2022, but certainly there's pockets of value and opportunities out there.
Is one of them leisure? Last time we chatted, we talked a bit about leisure, and you said absolutely some opportunity. And I think literally that day, or maybe a few days later, the new variant came out. I have to be honest, I used that Friday morning as an opportunity to pick up some leisure stocks, because my view was, on a 1 or perhaps 2 year view, they were very cheap. Now reports this morning, we might get off the UK red list. I mean, there is definitely value there. It's not going to be plain sailing, but things are cheap with a couple of years of view.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we're obviously going to be pulled and pushed from either side of the fence with news flow in terms of new variants and going on and off the UK red list. But I agree with you. Certainly that sell-off that we saw that day was a great buying opportunity. You saw City Lodge come into the low fours, bounce right back up to kind of 470s. And that was really across the board with a lot of those SA Inc. names. So I agree with you. I think there is certainly value. It's going to be a little bit volatile. But I do think that a lot of the sort of shock news and the bad news is kind of teetering out and getting behind us now. So, a few sort of tailwinds of positivity with coming off the UK red list and kind of people starting to move around, vaccines starting to show strong evidence that they are working against the virus as well as other variants. People are going to start to move around. Lots of pent-up demand out there. and consumer spend, probably going to kick off quite strong as we move towards that sort of through the summertime into that April period going into next year.
The challenge is going to be, and you mentioned it there, I mean, this was almost, I say this a bit tongue-in-cheek, it was a bit of an easy year. You know, you picked a quality company at a beaten-down price, there was money to be made. Next year, we're going to have to be a little smarter in terms of picking those qualities and keeping an eye on those valuations.
Absolutely. But what I can say is if you, again, just kind of focus on that sort of smaller mid-cap type mm-hmm. space, these companies have really, management have done a great job in terms of cleaning up the core of their businesses, getting rid of unnecessary costs, streamlining their businesses. You know, you get a bit of pent-up demand, yeah. a bit of consumer spend out there, and there's certainly an earnings leverage effect going into 2022. So I think hats off to a lot of the management teams out there that have managed to weather this very difficult period over the last couple of years. But I think they're well placed. And if you just look at it from a valuation perspective across the basket of those SA Inc. stocks, they're still cheap. You know, the earnings profiles of these companies are growing and still happy and prepared to pay the prices that we pay. So a little bit of sort of exogenous tailwinds and you start to see some nice leveraged effects from an earnings perspective. So I still think they're well placed. You obviously just need to apply a bit more of a stock picker's mentality mm-hmm. as opposed to picking a basket of stocks at this point of the cycle.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we've learned is that stocks have come out, a lot of them have actually come out of the pandemic stronger. They've cleaned up balance sheets, they've cut costs, and they're looking a whole lot stronger. Derek Ganser from Rensburg, Anchor Capital, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat, a deal that was actually announced last week. Afrimat acquiring Glenova Phosphate. Andreas, appreciate the early morning as always. Phosphate. I mean, what is the what has been mined in the Glenova, and what is its target market?
Yeah, morning, Simon. It's a beautiful day in Cape Town. Glenova is a very, very interesting deposit. It's originally a phosphate mine, but mm-hmm. the byproduct is rare earths, together with a few other minerals. And then there's also vermiculite. So it's a very, very interesting geological formation there of the three different minerals or mineral types. Each obviously with their own market, the phosphates for the fertilizer market. The rare earth is really a modern mineral. One of the big uses of those minerals is for magnets mm-hmm. That will be electric motors. And then the vermiculite is for the horticulture industry. Currently, it's a dormant mine, so we have to get it back in production.
Yeah, and I get the question around how can I invest in rare earth minerals has been probably the one I've been asked the longest over the last decade or so. And this is, you make a point in the announcement that it kind of reduces your exposure to ferrous metals. And you've been building this multi-commodity business. I mean, I remember, when Afrimat back in the day, it was aggregates. It was basically, that's all the business was. Massively evolved over the process to the point where it's now multiple commodities, and you kind of done a bunch of acquisitions. Timelines on this one, you say it's got to still ramp up to production. From the sense, probably a year or so.
The interesting thing is, you'll see we did that in two phases. The first is there are stockpiles on site that was manufactured many, many years ago, and it's actually in a very, very good condition, those stockpiles. So we have already started selling off those stockpiles. So the phosphate rock on the high grade stockpile We've already found a market for it, and we've started earning some cash back. But the real business, the stuff that we really after, you're right, that's going to take us about a year to get that to production.
Your Jenkins and Nkomati, I attended a presentation virtually that you did recently around it. Those projects have been successfully implemented, bedded down, and are operating at full steam.
Yeah, Jenkins was that's an absolute jewel. We managed to get that because it's a very shallow deposit and it's a direct shipping ore, so there's not a lot of plant and equipment necessary. It's just mobile crushers that we moved in there. So literally 2 months after we paid for the business, we managed to generate the revenue from there. So that one's up and running very nicely and ramping up ahead of schedule. And Nkomati has turned around, and it's now consistently, November was the fifth month in a row that we made a very decent profit out of there. So, that one's turned as well.
We've chatted before, I think it was about a year ago, around the philosophy of acquisitions at Afrimat. And I'm on record as saying I think you and your team are perhaps the best deal makers on the JSC. You've done a lot of them recently, but are you seeing lots of opportunity out there? I mean, are you turning away a lot, or are people sort of beating a path to your door with potential deals?
Yeah, we have a focused business development team whose job it is to find these opportunities, and they do have a very good pipeline. Unfortunately, your success rate or your hit rate is actually very, very low. There's always something there that you find that makes you turn away. But to answer your question in short, there are still many, many opportunities out there.
And I take your point about that. It's probably more about turning away the right ones that wouldn't have worked than it is about signing up. I mean, it's sort of the rush of blood, which is you want to do the deal. It's spotting those problems, which is a large part of the skill set.
Yeah, that's the big challenge. Every one of us, myself included, we tend to fall in love with a project when you work on it a little bit. And we've over the years, we've developed a very nice diversity in the team where we look at all the different angles from all the different, whether it's market or operational, financial, whatever. We make sure that we look at all the angles and rather walk away. You know, I have a saying that I've never lost money on a deal I didn't do.
So, I take your point on that. A quick last question. The manganese acquisition, which you announced earlier this year, that's obviously a process. There's water licenses and a whole bunch still need to happen there. Is that moving forward, albeit the timelines are stretching into next year?
Yeah, it is. We're actually quite excited. We've actually done a lot of very good work on that, optimized the business model a little bit, and as we speak we've actually got the drills back on site to do a little bit more exploration, because we think that there might be more in there than we initially thought.
We'll leave that there. That's Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat. Andreas, always appreciate your early morning times.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Lindsay Dutton, Intersect Chief of Staff. Lindsay, appreciate the early morning time. You've just raised another round of funding. As an outsider, to my sense, what we know about VC funding and the like is typically from TV shows and movies. I imagine nothing like the reality on the ground. Tell us a bit about that process of the meeting potential funders and ultimately signing on the dotted line.
Morning, Simon. Yes, you're absolutely right. So Often this all starts long before you even decide to raise money. So you've got your CFO, your CEO, along with your CFO and, you know, your chief of staff, or maybe someone who specifically deals with this. But building industry relationships, keeping people abreast of what the company's plans are, and really engaging with your network. And that way, when you decide to raise money, they already know, you know, they already know a little bit about the company already. So from there, the important thing is really finding the right partner to enable you to grow. So for us, that growth means scaling internationally, investing in our tech and our product, attracting top talent. So really depending on the business, the right partner is really important. It's that connection, fitting into your company culture. And then once you've found that partner, you move into the process, which can be time consuming. It can be tough on the business. It's trying to, you know, focus on your day job as well as managing all the stakeholders involved. It's the investor themselves, as well as, you know, your shareholders, your board of directors, and then the rest of the business that's involved in the raise as well. So that's your finance team, mm-hmm. the due diligence process, your legal team, even your engineers, you know, involved in the tech due diligence. But I suppose we found in the due diligence process, you know, with an investor like Accel KKR, who is so focused on tech companies, they can be a partner to you. So helping you identify maybe something that you need to work on as a business. But really, their findings were confirmation for us that we were doing the right things, and that was great.
Yeah, and I take your point around that. It is, obviously, it's about money, but it's actually about partners, and it's about relationships perhaps more than anything. You're a fintech business. Looking at your website, a lot of around security, FIDO, for example, and the like. What is your core business areas that you do operate in?
We build digital authentication and payment solutions for customers like banks, insurance companies, healthcare providers, and the like. We like to explain what we do, saying we secure digital transactions. So we want to make the digital world a safer place for everyone to transact in. And then, of course, helping companies to fight online fraud is a big part of what we do.
And I imagine a part of that security process, it's not just making sure that I'm end-to-end encrypted and the like. It's also verifying that I am who I say I am. I'm saying I'm Simon Brown. You need to say, well, you know, are we sure about that? And you know, in the real physical world, I pull out an ID card. Of course, in the online world, there's other ways we need to verify I am who I say.
Absolutely. So our focus is really on securing the transactions when somebody's making a payment. So it's helping an organization like a bank to identify that the customers are legitimate, that you are Simon Brown, and thwarting those fraudsters who are pretending to be you. So we've seen how that security can actually be an enabler for very forward-thinking companies. Using that security as a foundation for them to innovate, for building user journeys for their customers, and you know, creating that experience for their customers with you know, that comfort.
Yeah, and making everyone peace of mind, because it's not just the peace of mind from the company I'm engaging with, it's my peace of mind as well, that it's all going to work and the end-to-end. We'll leave it there. That's Lindsley Dutton. She's Chief of Staff at Intersect. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Our poll we're going to put out on the Twitter and the LinkedIn, chatting with Andreas van Heerden there. Afrimat's had a good year, although it is off the highs as the iron ore price has perhaps taken some of the shine off it. And part of the new deal that they're doing, in fact, the many deals, is to kind of, you know, make them less of just an iron ore business. Question is Afrimat in your portfolio? Is it a business that you have been buying? Perhaps you still hold it. Maybe you were one of those who actually said, no, I took some profit at higher prices. You can have your vote. You can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. Yesterday, we had chatted with Cookie Koyman from Denker Capital around the local banks. And we asked if you thought they were still offering value. Almost two-thirds of you said, yep, absolutely. I sit in that group. Well, I take the easy route. I buy the Satrix ETF on the banking sector. A quarter of you said, no, it's tough out there for banks. And a tenth of you said, actually, you prefer the offshore banks. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. We're recording all the way through shows up until 24th of December. We will be playing out every morning and then, of course, in your podcast feed and then back again on 10th of January. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for the early mornings. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.